chapter number 13. I encourage you to have a Bible with you to follow along in the Bible. I don't have anything on the screen today. There's just something about a blank screen that I don't like. So I've been putting an outline up, but I just didn't do that this morning. But I encourage you to follow along in the Bible. I encourage you anytime you're in the Bible to have a pen and paper in your hand to write down what God gives you, because when God gives you something, I guarantee you immediately the devil's going to try to snatch that away from you. If you write it down, you remember it a little bit better. And just the fact that you wrote it down helps you remember. In John chapter number 13, and we're going to read a number of verses in John 13 beginning in verse number 3. And I like to stand in respect to the Word of God. If you're able to stand, you follow along with me. If anyone needs a Bible, we have some Bibles in the back. You want a Bible? Is Garrett coming back here? Anybody need a Bible? I encourage you to have a Bible to follow along, all right? John chapter number 13. We've been spending some time in John chapter number 13, and I encourage you to join us in spending time. We're going through the Gospel of John one chapter at a time, and it'll be a blessing to you, I'm sure, and God will use it in your life if you at least take time to read that chapter once a day or so. John chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 3, and we're going to read down to verse number 11. As Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore said He, Ye are not all clean. Father, we pray Your blessing upon the Word of God this morning. And God, I pray that You would help us to realize that we are in need of cleansing today. Every day we look into the Word of God and shows us what we need to clean up and how we are to clean up. It shows us who we are and who our God is as we compare ourselves with our God. Lord, forgive us for often comparing ourselves with ourselves instead of comparing ourselves to the perfect Son of God. And God, I pray that You would help us to see that every one of us here today is in need of cleansing. Bless now Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And have a seat if you will. I need a good cleaning. You ever hear that? Sometimes I come home from working different things and my wife says, You can't come in my house looking like that. I have to remind it's my house too. So, but sometimes I take the broom and it's always a mistake to give your wife a broom and say, brush me off. I said brush, not whack. In reality, when I look at this passage of Scripture, I can't help but to think that all of us need cleansing. Some people need two cleansings. Jesus is addressing two specific disciples. One of them, He said, you need two cleansings. One of them just needed the one. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, but all of us do need a cleansing. And I want to look at those two cleansings and then look at for a few moments before we go what it is that cleanses us, how we can be made clean. And the first cleansing is that cleansing from the inside. What we're talking about here is salvation. Jesus was referring to Judas when he said, "You are all clean except one." And he was referring to Judas, who never did trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. There's an interesting study in why Jesus chose Judas to begin with, to be one of his disciples and one of the members of the first church that was pastored by Jesus. You think Jesus knew better, but I think there's some specific reasons for that, if nothing else, to show us that all of us are going to meet up with a Judas. All of us maybe, or some of us might even be a Judas, that make a false profession of faith and pretend to be a follower of Christ. But all of us are in need of a cleansing. The cleansing from within is a cleansing of salvation. Never forget where you were when Jesus found you. Never forget what He saved you from. If we forget what we were saved from, it won't be long, we'll be going back to what we were. And when I think it'll start to justify, I think it's not that bad. I was thinking of a passage of Scripture, and as soon as I look at it now, this week, I think of one of our dear members that I was met with and read some Scripture to, and I prayed with him, Brother Chet and Lorraine, last week when I stopped to see him. I said, before we pray and read Scripture, is there a favorite? I had a couple of psalms I was going to read before we pray, and I said, is there a favorite psalm that you have, Brother Chet, before I go and before we pray? And he said, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 51. I said, that's a great psalm. Psalm 51 reminds us of who we were when God saved us and how we are still in need of cleansing. Let me just read something that said in Psalm 51, verse number 3 through 7, says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's what I am. That's who I am. "Behold, thou desirest truth and the inward parts." I'm talking about an inward cleansing. "And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Isn't it good to be saved? When we get saved, God washes us white as snow. Maybe you've seen, and they use it in Sunday school and junior church occasionally or on the bus, or maybe you've seen it with kids, the wordless book. And our hearts were black with sin, and then Jesus' blood cleanses us and makes us whiter than snow when He saves us from our sin. And God cleans us whiter than snow when we are truly born again. The cleaning on the inside. I want to mention a couple of things under number one of cleaning from the inside. We need to realize that not all church members are clean on the inside. Notice again what Jesus said in verse number 10, in the last part. "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet." If you're saved, you don't need to be saved again. But is clean everywhere. They're already clean on the inside. And ye are clean. In other words, you've been saved, as he's addressing Peter. But not all, not everyone is saved. And I want to say this, that Jesus knows our hearts better than we know our heart. Jesus can see in our heart what other people cannot see. And there's a false assumption that people make, a ridiculous leap from that, we'll get to before we finish today. But what he's emphasizing here is not all people that profess to be Christians are truly born again. Oftentimes, as it's happened here a number of times, someone maybe was brought up in church or made a profession of faith when they were younger, and they got baptized, they were a member of the church, and then it happened to both my sons, actually. And then they later realized, I really didn't understand what salvation was back when I made a profession of faith. And they came to us as teenagers and said, "We need to be saved. We've never been saved." And parents, don't argue with your children. God's convicting in their life. And I'm grateful that both of them were saved later in life and realized that that was a false profession of faith. But Judas not only deceived all those who are around them, but he also deceived himself. I don't think he realized himself that he was lost because he never opened his heart completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 139, I've got a lot of favorite psalms. Psalm 139 is another one of my favorite psalms. It talks about the omniscience, the fact that God knows everything, that he sees everything. I can't go anywhere to hide from his presence. He knows every single thing about me. In the last two verses of that psalm, if we don't put it in the right context, we misunderstand what the psalmist is saying in those last two verses of Psalm 139, where he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." In other words, if you put that, now when we just read those verses, we might say, well, God, would you look inside of my heart? Because you don't even know. God knows what's in there. And when he's saying, search me, if you put it in the context of the whole chapter, we realize that God already knows. I'm the one that don't know what's in my heart. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I may have prayed a prayer. I may have claimed to be a Christian. But if I'm not truly saved, God knows that. I may have deceived others. I may have deceived myself, as Judas did. But God needs to search, and God desperately wants. And if you ask God, He'll show you, because He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. The Bible reveals the secrets of our heart. The Bible will show us if we're saved or not. The Bible will convict us of sin when we see no sin. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12 says, "The Word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." And the Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Only the Bible can show us what's in our heart. Now we can say, well, that's in my heart. And people talk about their heart all the time today, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Well, I just believe in my heart. You don't even know your heart. None of us truly knows our heart. And the only way we can find anything out about our heart is to dig into the Word of God, because the Bible is the only thing that shows us what's in our heart. But not all church members are clean. And we're talking about the cleansing from inside, salvation. And we'll say this, secondly, it was only the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. There's a song that we like around here. What can wash away my sin but the blood of Jesus? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a great song that is. What a great truth that is. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from sin. I want you to keep your place here in John 13 and turn ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I was thinking of a number of verses, and I thought I'd share this one with you at least let you turn to it. Another one I'll read to you in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 9. "As know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Those that are not right with God will not get to heaven. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators." And God lists a number of sins. I won't get into the definition of these sins, but it's amazing how we kind of ignore some of these sins in our culture today. Fornication. We still call it pornography, but we don't see the danger in it. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Of course, we got cute little terms. Well, they had an affair. They had a relationship. No, they're adulterers. Nor effeminate. It's a sodomite. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Well, they're alcoholics today, you understand. Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God lists. This is what we are. By the way, that's what he's... Read verse 11. Let me see what verse I'm on. Notice verse 11 says, and such were. That's a great word right there. Such were some of you. But ye are, what's that word? Washed. Ye are washed. God has cleansed us, but ye are sanctified, set apart. But ye are justified, just as if I've never sinned. God has taken that sin away from me when I was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, when I was redeemed, when I trusted Him as my Savior, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I'm going to come back and I'm going to mention that verse. I want you to just notice that phrase there for right now. We're washed by the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's something that takes place at our salvation. Ephesians chapter number 2, I'll just read the verse and then we'll go back to John chapter number 13. Ephesians 2 verse 12 and 13 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from our sin. You see, Jesus, and I know most of you here this morning, you understand this, the blood of Jesus Christ was different than your blood and my blood. Our blood comes from our earthly father. Jesus had no earthly father. That's why he had to be virgin born, because he was fully God and fully man at the same time. And because his blood was different, his blood is the only blood that was worthy to be shed for our sin and applied at the mercy seat of God the Father. And his blood was shed for the remission, for the payment of our sin. And his blood alone is able to cleanse us from sin. It's not Muhammad's blood. It's not Buddha's blood. It's not the priest's blood. It's not the preacher's blood. It's Jesus' blood. And His blood alone cleanseth us from sin. And He cleans us from the inside with His blood. That's salvation. But Jesus said, you're not all clean, as He looked at His 12 disciples. Now, what He was talking secondly about, and if you've been saved on the inside, we need to be cleaned also on the outside. A biblical word for that, the cleaning on the inside, is salvation. The biblical word for the cleaning on the outside is sanctification. Setting ourselves apart unto God. Making ourselves available to God and letting the grace of God cleanse us from sin, that we can be used of Him. Now, Peter didn't understand the importance of Jesus' actions or His words. And I think that Peter was not the only disciple that didn't understand. I think none of them understood what he was getting at, what he was doing, why he was doing it. It's just that Peter was the first one to say anything. And everybody else was there, yeah, you tell them, yeah, you ask Peter. Peter was the spokesman for them. Notice the conversation in verse number 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter as he went around. And we think of it as a table. Actually, they lay on the ground to eat their meals. And you'd want somebody that you're laying next to with their feet next to your face have clean feet. Huh? You see why it's important for their culture to clean their feet before they sit down for a meal. But Jesus went around again to as they were eating, and he was cleaning their feet, and he came to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, dost thou wash my feet? You're not going to wash my feet. That's the work of a servant. That's not the work of my master. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You're going to understand it someday, Peter. Right now you don't have a clue. But someday you're going to understand. And Peter saith unto him, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Peter said, well, I'm all in, man. Don't just wash my feet, wash my hand, wash my head, wash everything. And Jesus said, you're really not getting it, Peter. Let me just cut you off here, Peter. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. You've already been cleansed in your heart. You've already been saved. But now you need another cleansing. He said, you're clean all, but not you're clean, but not all of you are clean. What Jesus was talking about here, and of course Peter didn't understand it, he's talking about that outward cleansing. That we're saved from sin, but we still sin. We're no longer under the condemnation of death, but we still live like we're under death. We still are subject to death. We still are subject to sickness. We still will die one day, unless the Lord comes back and changes us at His return. But Peter didn't get the importance of Jesus' actions. Now, I see in Peter what I see in many people that call themselves Christians today. Peter thought that repentance was only for lost people. Peter thought that cleansing, that the only thing that I just need my heart cleansed and then I can do whatever I want to. And I see in Peter what I see too often in many people's lives and too often in my own lives, that, well, I don't need to repent of anything. I don't need to humble myself at an altar. I don't need to cry out for God's mercy. After all, I'm a child of God. Peter didn't get it, like a lot of folks don't get it today. He thought he was, quote unquote, above repentance. I'm not going to stoop myself down in repentance. I did that when I was saved. That's just the beginning. Anybody coming? We read a verse about aliens earlier, so I don't know. But well, the other disciples respected Peter's leadership and his boldness, and they didn't get it either. But what Jesus was desiring from Peter and the message he was trying to get across from Peter, and he will eventually get it across. There's a number of things that take place before Peter finally gets the message. But what Jesus desired was a complete surrender to Him. Not just a confession of faith, but a complete surrender. And Peter repeatedly fell on his face trying to serve God, trying to do the right thing. I have no doubt that Peter's motives were always good in what he was trying to do. He just didn't get it. And just like us, when we're saved and trying to do the right thing, our motives are good, but we're not getting it. Because we're trying to do it in our own works, in our own way, and our own determination rather than the grace of God. I'm going to say this, that the second thing under the cleansing from the outside is Peter didn't get the importance of the action, and also we could all learn something from Peter. We must serve Christ, but not in our power, but in His power. Jesus is calling us to serve in His wisdom, but not our wisdom, not our understanding. It's not our knowledge. It's not our abilities. He wants us to serve Him not for our own glory, but for His glory. And even Jesus said, I came not to glorify myself, I came to glorify my Father. And all through the Gospel of John, He's emphasizing He's here to glorify His Father, to do His Father's will. Now, that's a hard thing for us to comprehend in our feeble little minds, because God the Father and God the Son are one, and then God the Holy Spirit are one. And then you can throw one, we are one in Him when we're saved. And our goal is to glorify God, just like Jesus' goal ought to be to glorify God, not to think that we are somebody, but God is everything. We must serve at His will, not our will. We must live the way He chooses, not the way we choose. Let Him manage our life. You know, sometimes we tend to have everything all figured out. And then once we get our path all figured out, then we try to micromanage everybody else's path around us. And parents are good at being what's called sometimes as helicopter parents. We try to control other people's lives around us and try to fix them because we think we got it all figured out. The truth is, none of us got it all figured out. The truth is, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to be 5 minutes from now. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we just delight in His way, not our way. We make, and if there's anything that we ought to have learned this year as Christians, don't plan anything and expect your plans to come through. Yeah, you plan it, but God's going to change those plans. And He has every right to change those plans. And we just go with what He says. Well, God, I was going to do it. It's called doing His will. And Peter fell on his face because he trusted in his strength. But Jesus picked him up still by His grace. Peter said later in his, I'll never deny you. The other guy says, I'll die before I ever deny you. And by the way, all the other disciples chimed in. Yeah, we're all with Peter. He's got my vote. We'll follow him. Yeah, we'll never deny you. We'll go to the grave before we ever deny you. You know what Jesus said. He said in this chapter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. But Peter had the strength and the courage, the boldness to do it. He even took his sword out and chopped off the servant's ear, facing the whole. He was going to face the whole Roman army on his own, but he was doing it on his own, not the will of God. And there's a big difference there. Jesus said, "Peter, you're still not getting it." And then Peter, before the day of Pentecost, said, "You know what? I've had enough of this stuff. I'm going fishing." And all the other disciples, "Yeah, we're going fishing too. We quit. We're done. This just didn't turn out the way we thought." God had other plans. But God eventually got Peter's attention. And I'll mention how He did that in a little bit. Let me mention this before we go on to the last thing I want to point out. Satan has a lie that's very popular in Christianity today. In that lie, we've looked at the two cleansings that God wants in our lives. Satan's got a very popular lie today to tell us, well, God doesn't care about the outside. All He cares about is the inside. God says, Peter, I've cleansed you on the inside. Now I want to cleanse you on the outside. It's called sanctification. That's almost a dirty word to a lot of Christians today. God cares about what's on the inside, yes, first and foremost. But He's also concerned about what's on the outside. What's on the inside gets us to heaven. That's salvation. When the Holy Spirit comes inside and saves us, we get to go to heaven. But what's on the outside will determine people around us whether they go to heaven or not. You think of it that way. If I live any way I choose, I can do what I want to do, and I'm going to miss an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody that God wanted me to witness to. I'm going to miss an opportunity to be a blessing, a testimony to somebody. You say, well, Jesus condemned hypocrisy. No one would agree with you more than I would on that. And by the way, let me say this. Hypocrisy works two directions. If I'm dirty on the inside, but I pretend I'm clean on the outside, well, you're a hypocrite. What about the other side of that? If I'm clean on the inside, and I tell people on the outside that I'm dirty, it's the same thing. Are you with me? Do you understand that? If I hang out at the bars and drink and cuss and chew and hang out with those that do or whatever, but I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Oh, I'm a hypocrite. I'm not living the way on the outside what I am on the inside. And no one's against hypocrisy more than I am. But the devil's convinced us that it doesn't matter how we live on the outside as long as we're clean on the inside. Now, Jesus was talking about an inside cleansing, which is salvation, and outside cleansing, which is sanctification. And Peter's going to understand that in a little bit, but I would just say this. How do we get that cleansing? The same way we got the cleansing on the inside, we get the cleansing on the outside. It's not by things that I do. It's not by character that I develop. It's not, well, bless God, I just don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because we think we're strong enough. We just don't do it. I've got the character. I've got the discipline. I don't. My heart's full of sin. I'm a wicked sinner inside. I know in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. How can I get clean? Now, the third thing I want to give, the third point is this. We need to wash with soap and water. You've heard that a lot lately, haven't you? You wash with soap and water. I like what somebody said a few months ago. We thought in 2020 we would be flying cars that didn't need wheels, that just were like spaceships that fly all over, that hover all over the place. But instead, we're going back to teaching people how to wash their hands. We're going to wash our hands. And I'll say this, that I've just some... I think someday we might get advanced enough to teach people how to flush a toilet. But we won't go that far, all right? Just to see if you're awake this morning, all right? But we're going to say this. Sanitizer is not enough. Hand sanitizer, you kill the germs, but where are those germs? I don't want them resurrected. They're still on me. And I've just practiced for years. I want to wash with soap and water. By the way, there's something biblical about that in the Old Testament. If you would care to go back to that, how God instructed the priests to wash after sacrifices with warm running water. We need soap and water. And not just rinse. And now sometimes I understand, in fact, this week a couple of times, I had to wash my hands. I had water, but I didn't have soap. Now, I'm just kind of, the older you get, the more germophobic you become. So I've practiced this for years before the COVID thing. I'm in the habit of usually when I'm going somewhere, I've got some water and I've got some soap with me. Sometimes I'll even have a towel if I'm really living the high life, but usually pants work great for towels. And I don't like to use hand sanitizer. I don't like to just use water. But sometimes I was in a situation this week, a couple of times, all I had was water. So I did the best I could with water. And in the old days, I would pick up a handful of sand or dirt and use that for soap. That works fairly well too. But if you just got water, you use what you can. If you just got soap, you use what you can. It's best if you have the two of them. I'm saying that because I want to make an illustration here. We're to wash with water and soap. You think of this. The Bible often refers to the Word of God as water. The written Word, the Word of God, the spoken Word. Jesus said, I am the water of life. The Word of God is the water that cleanseth us. I'm going to have you turn to a scripture here in a little bit, but I'm about out of time, so we'll just get to this quickly. Water is the Word of God, the Bible. And the soap is the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is going to introduce the Holy Spirit in the next four chapters of the Gospel of John. It's always been my favorite chapters in the Gospel of John where Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to His disciples. That's a great, great section of Scripture that every Christian ought to spend some time studying. If nothing else, it'll help you to answer a Jehovah's Witness when they ever knock on your door. One of their main doctrines is that the Holy Spirit and Jesus, or that the Holy Spirit is not a person. And I'll say, well, God messed up then because God refers to the Holy Spirit as He or Him. Now, if I'm talking about a person, I'm going to call Him He or Him. If I'm talking about a thing, I'm going to say it, right? I understand. Even I understand enough English to know that. But the Jehovah's Witness, of course, have tried to correct their Bible. They've got their own version of the Bible. And they rewrote, they tried to take out a lot of things, but they missed quite a few of them in John 14, 15, and 16. They forgot to change the he's and the him's to it. So I like to say, kid, you got one of your Bibles? I want to show you something here. And just read through those chapters. Oh, man. We had to write to our editors and tell them we got to change the Word of God to fit our doctrine a little bit better. But they're not the only ones that do that. But if nothing else, you can help to understand who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the water and the soap. The soap and the water is the Word of God. And the two, and by the way, the two work hand in hand. The two go hand in hand. One of the most important truths that I remember hearing my preacher say it when I was a new Christian and didn't really understand it until I started digging into the Word of God. He said, you cannot separate the Spirit of God from the Word of God. That's where the charismatics get all twisted out of shape. Well, the Spirit told me this. First of all, I like to keep the Holy Spirit's first name attached to His name. He's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God never tells you something contrary to the Word of God. In fact, in my study, I learned this, that everything that God says about the Word of God, He also says about the Spirit of God. They're both all-powerful. They both created all things. With the only difference in every attribute of the Holy Spirit or every attribute of God, you can find that same attribute of the Word of God with the exception of one thing. That the Word of God is not a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. But other than that, they have every attribute. You can line them up and study. I encourage you to study that out sometime. You'll find that fascinating. But I want you to see something here. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God always work. We need to wash with soap and water. Titus chapter number 3. Turn, if you will, to Titus chapter number 3, and we'll close here. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. You'll find Hebrews is just back a couple of books. Philemon's a real small book. I'll help you out a little bit there. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. In verse number 1. Who is reading some verses here? Of course, the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, the Apostle Paul is writing to preacher boys. 1 and 2 Timothy are written to 1 and 2 Timothy. No, they're written to Timothy. Same person, just two different letters. And Titus is written to another preacher boy named Titus. He's instructing them some things concerning the ministry, concerning pastoring churches. He left them in different cities to pastor churches that he had started. In verse number 1, Paul continues this instruction to Titus through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Speak evil of no man. In other words, obey the law. In other words, obey the authority in your life. Even though you might not agree with that authority, God put them in authority. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. You're not looking for a fight. Be gentle, showing meekness to all men. For we ourselves also were. There's that word were again. I like that word. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hate and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the, notice this, washing of regeneration. There's the washing of the heart, the inside, the salvation. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelling us at salvation and then taking control of us, renewing, reviving us, we could say today. Taking control of our life. In verse, that's the second cleansing, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, not only to ourselves, but those around us. We're saved by grace and we're filled with the Holy Spirit by His grace working in us. Grace is God doing in us what is humanly impossible, our salvation and our sanctification. In verse number 9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strives about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain and empty and useless. In other words, I'd say it this way, if this was written in the 21st century, God would say, shut off your internet. Shut off the news. Don't get wrapped up in all that stuff, but instead focus on the salvation of Jesus Christ and sanctifying yourself, living for God. Hello. That was just a wake-up call, all right? That's a good timing there. And focus on telling others about Jesus Christ, making sure that there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Don't bother, and we could put it this way, sticking with, don't bother about which brand of soap is the best brand to use. Huh? Don't bother about, well, what kind of water should I use? Should I use hard water or soft water? I don't know, it's all kind of soft to me. It's all kind of wet too. And we get debate and we get sidetracked on so many issues and so many silly things today. In reality, what we need to see is what Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter number 6. He saw God in His holiness and saw himself in His sinfulness. And he cried out, woe is unto me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If we would get our eyes and see Jesus for who He is and see ourselves for who we are, we would have the same focus as Isaiah did. Before that, his focus was on the king, Uzziah, who was a good king, but God had to get him out of Isaiah's way so he could see Jesus, so he could see the God on his throne and see himself. And then God said, now I'm going to use you, Isaiah. And would to God that we would be like Isaiah today, to see God for who He is, to cleanse ourselves in this book, to dig into the Word of God. And it's, I think, one of the saddest things in our day today is not the pandemic or the politics and all that. It's just that God's people are spending so much time involved in the things that our world is concerned about instead of digging into this book. We're living in the end times. I have no question about it. The trumpet's about to sound. And we need to be doing everything we can to get people to salvation in Jesus Christ and get in the Word of God like we ought to be doing. And by the way, the thing that transformed Peter's life, that made him from a constant failure to being filled with the Holy Spirit, where thousands of people got saved at his preaching on the day of Pentecost, was Acts chapter number 1, where he spent 10 days fasting and praying and digging into the Scriptures. That'll transform anybody's life. That'll make the difference right there. Not just saying, boy, I ought to do that, I should do that. I will do it. And there's the difference. We need a cleansing. I don't think that we can go on all dirty, like walking in the house. Teenagers walking in the house and mama's standing there with a broom to swat you out. Then husband's coming home all dirty. Oh, wash before you come in here. Don't mess up this place. Don't mess up the work of God. Cleanse yourself by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you to stand.